It starts off with this very high-tech syntho-sequency type thing, like this. That's the news. Then the strings take the melody.
Chills.
D'abord, il y a cette fille dans la boîte de verre qui dit bonne nuit à demain. Sur un bout de musique, des bons hommes à l'envers et puis après, plus rien. J'étais là à 8 heures pour les mauvaises nouvelles. Elle m'a laissé tout seul avec mes envies d'elle. Derrière son visage, un paysage de neige, puis après, plus rien. Après je prends mon pote sur la radio locale au milieu d'un discours. C'est le temps qu'il espère au-dessus de son bocal s'il arrive à faire jour. Parce qu'il paraît qu'il y a le feu à la moitié de la terre et qu'on attend du mieux juste pour les sagittaires. Après un dernier verre, le souffle des étoiles et puis après plus rien. Et puis après plus rien. Et puis après, édition spéciale. Édition spéciale. En couleur naturelle, mes envies d'elle. Et puis après, édition spéciale, en grandeur nature, ses yeux sur le mur.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Stuff We've Seen. This is Jim, and with me, as always, is my very special permanent guest co-host, Jill.
Hey, how's it going, listeners?
It's going good. Well, I'm answering as if I were a listener.
That's, well, you're listening to me, I guess.
It's because I didn't get much sleep last night.
Neither did I.
So excited.
It's like Christmas Eve.
Yes, so excited to be disappointed by the Oscar nominations. It's my favorite time is to once a year get very disappointed when my personal picks for best film are not somehow magically on the list.
Right. And you somehow realize what the real demographic of the Academy is.
Yes. But I will say, look, year in, year out, you can count on the Academy Award nominations for the following. There will be movies that I will be like, what the hell are those movies doing on the list? There will be a few films that I will say, you know what, I have to admit, I really like those films. And then, and you know, and once in a while, even a movie that I think was the best film of the year might even make the list.
Right.
There will be a plethora of non-surprises.
Okay, yes.
Because it is getting so easy to handicap every year. I think that...
Well, here's the thing. It's all going to be a surprise to me because, as you know, I don't follow this stuff. And so maybe I've never heard of these films. I don't know what the nominations are. We should state that right up front.
Yes. So the funny thing is I am the king between you and I guess,
yes,
of the Oscar nominations. I was there were years growing up that I was obsessed with the Oscars. And then, of course, it just took maybe about 25 to 30 years of nonstop disappointment for me to realize that I am never going to agree with the movies that win most of the time. And I will be more than not outraged. And then even with the nominations, since the sort of social media world, online critics, bloggeroonies and what have you, they all get their say and they love to be the ones that kind of handicap and sort of hand select what
right.
they feel should be the movies. And you know what? Honestly, since then, it's like they cull the list. And so you've got maybe 10 to 12 movies that you're probably going to get nominated.
Right. And those are also ones that have already won other various awards and are on top 10 lists of critics. And it narrows the pool down.
Yeah. And I think sometimes there's like a groupthink thing that goes on where people say, oh, well, those I haven't seen them, but those must be the best. So I'll vote for them.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to start ranting right now.
All right. Oh, no, you don't even know. You don't even know what they are.
Oh, no, I was going to rant about past years, but...
I think we're going to save that. And then, though, that might come up after we... But you know what? We should... I think since we're doing this episode, we should do a post-Oscar
episode. We will do a post-Oscar episode. I have to say, for years and years, I just didn't watch the Oscars and didn't pay attention to it. I just got fed up with the whole thing. I took about a decade off.
I've never missed an Oscar telecast.
Yeah, I took about a decade off. I just didn't pay attention, and then I would kind of see an article a day or two afterwards and go, "Oh, maybe I should watch that movie that won Best Picture."
Okay. Well, here's why we're doing this, kids.
Yeah.
Is because that whether or not we agree with every movie that we're going to mention, I guarantee you, the listener, that there will be some films that you've never heard of. There's going to be a bunch that Teal's never heard of. And again, I'm going to just give away one little thing before I read this list. There were a few films that were mentioned today that I was not terribly familiar with, and it's great because this is going to give me a chance to search them out.
Okay, so are we doing every nomination? We're doing sound design?
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go through, and I was debating whether or not I should just jump with the big categories or just start from the back, but I realized if we start with the big categories, we could get off track and we'll never get through this thing. So
okay.
we're going to read every list, but I don't think we're going to have a lot to comment on those smaller categories because, quite honestly, they're just not movies that I've even heard of.
Right.
And so, you know, I'll mention them because maybe, you know, you might be a best live-action short film aficionado and you want
to
know.
Completionist, to know less.
And you might get upset. I'd like to know the person out there that's, like, you know, following that and is like, son of a bitch! That short movie subject didn't get nominated. I don't think there is anybody out there like that, but, you know. We're going to do it.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, we're no more nonsense. We're doing it. Okay, best live action short film. The nominees are Detainment, Fauve, Marguerite, Mother, not with an exclamation point, and Skin.
Okay, let me ask you something about this category. Any celebrity names in the nomination list there?
Nothing that I saw. I mean, literally
know nothing. Because sometimes you do. Sometimes there'll be like a famous actor who's made a short film that shows up in there.
You've already spent more time on this category than I thought we were going to spend.
Next category.
Best animated short film. Animal Behavior. Bow. Late Afternoon. One Small Step. Weekends. I don't know any of those.
Yeah, next category.
All right, best documentary short subject.
See, these are movies that are only seen by people in the 30 to 45 second clip they show during the Oscars. That's all anyone ever sees of these movies.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to provide some color commentary because there's literally, for years, I myself didn't understand this. And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't understand how the Oscar nominations come about. So when we're talking about short films and like live action shorts, a committee culls down a list of a large category of these shorts.
Yeah, they make a short list.
They make a short list of the short films. And then from those, only people who actually go to the screenings and committed to seeing the shorts can vote on them.
Right.
So they nominate those. And then when the list of these nominees come out, you can't vote for those on the general list unless you've seen all the short films.
Right. And that works on the honor system, I assume.
Well, no, I think that you actually have to go to the screenings. They log you in, and so you only get to vote.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not with every category, but it is with these short ones and some of the select ones, which as we go through, I will mention that.
Okay.
So best documentary short subject, Black Sheep, Endgame, Lifeboat, A Night at the Garden, period, end of sentence.
Okay.
I don't know any of those.
Nope.
But here is one thing I will give the streaming services.
Yes, they do feature these.
Right. There would have been times where, unless you were lived in a market where they were doing a, you know, Academy Award short subjects, and, yeah, you know, in Boston, you're going to be able to catch that, I think, and maybe in L.A. and New York. But now there is a chance that if you're really interested in those movies, you might be able to catch them on a Netflix or an Amazon Prime or something like that.
I know a few years ago, iTunes had a bunch of the short films available for free around nomination time.
Yeah, and so I, you know, I think that so is look wonderful around. News. Yeah. But I also...
Okay, let's keep
you know,
it moving.
Well, no, wait a minute. But I have some things to say about this. I personally, I personally think that the time has come for things like documentary short subject, animated short film, live action short film. I think they're starting to finally get it. They may be putting those to another ceremony, but I just don't even know if those are really subjects anybody cares about.
They're just time fillers.
Now, mind you, the people killers who make these films care about them.
Well, sure, of course. But they're not something that people watching the Oscars are really even going to have a chance to see most of the time.
Correct. And if they're looking for the reality of why people don't watch the award ceremony anymore, is that people are like, I don't want to go through 2 hours before you get to any good categories.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. Best documentary feature, which I actually, this is a category that is great because... Yeah. I tend to see some of the ones that get nominated. So a movie that I actually have heard a lot about, but of course it's not playing within 100 miles of where I live, is Free Solo.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah. And it's not Free, the Han Solo movie from the producer Kathleen Kennedy. It's Free Solo is about a guy who climbs cliffs, I believe.
Yes.
See, even this punchy, I can throw in a few humorous jabs.
Okay, so...
So Free Solo is one nomination. Hale County, This Morning, This Evening. Don't know it. Minding the Gap.
I've heard of it, yep.
I think it's available on Hulu, so I may check this one out. Of Fathers and Sons.
Well, that just that just sounds like a title of like 10 different movies.
Yeah, I don't.
it's a really generic title.
And then here's one that everybody's heard of. It's the last nominee on the list is RBG.
Oh yeah, okay, yep. That's
Red, Blue, Green.
Everybody's talking about it. The Krzysztof Kieślowski documentary.
I have actually, they ran it on, I think, PBS or CNN or something. So I taped it a couple months back, and then I've seen about half an hour of it. And the only reason I haven't gone back to it is because it's just too scary a situation, you know?
Like, right.
Every day
but
I'm
you just
like,
don't
want to
think about
she...
it.
Exactly. So it's just that, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you hang in there, gal.
Yeah.
But it's just too intense.
Okay. So isn't it? It's on Netflix now, isn't it?
It probably is.
I think it is. Yeah.
So I will see that. And then the big, I guess, snub that people were a little surprised at was the Mr. Rogers documentary was not nominated.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was talking about that at one point.
They were all talking about it, but it was not nominated. All right. Moving on. Best foreign language film. Capernaum.
Okay.
I have heard about it.
Yeah.
I've heard good things. I don't know anything about it. And,
I know nothing about it.
You know, so I will look for it. Cold War.
Yes. I've been wanting to see it. It's high on my list.
It is high on my list. It is from the director. He's Polish, of Ida, which people are like, what? But it was
no,
a great
Ida was
film
a masterpiece.
A few,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very excited because this is a personal film of his. He based it on his parents' relationship in, I think, the early 60s, maybe, or late 50s. I'm not sure. But it's something that I'm just dying to see. And it's not going to be playing anywhere near where I live,
yeah.
But it is Amazon Studios, so it will eventually come on Prime.
Yes, and it might come on Prime sooner rather than later now that it's been nominated.
Okay, Never Look Away.
Don't know it.
Germany. I didn't know it either, but I did look it up today, and I've got to see this movie. It is the director of The Secret Lives of Others.
It
takes place post-World War II, and it takes place on Germans now on the Eastern Bloc, and an artist who's trying to find his place.
Oh, this sounds very cool.
It's 3 hours.
That doesn't bother me.
I watched the trailer because after this, I was like, I've got to check this out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you for other reasons in a little bit, but it looks fantastic.
Okay.
So I think it's one of these movies that actually got released very late. I don't know if it's actually even come out in a lot of places.
Oh, okay. Might not have even, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not going to come out to my theater.
It
but
just had a, it's had its qualifying run, but that's about it, maybe.
Yeah, so I guess if you're in one of those cool markets that show art films, get ready for that. Roma. The Alfonso Cuarón film. I think everybody expected that. That's Mexico's entry, and that is also nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. And then Shoplifters.
Oh, okay.
From Japan.
Yeah.
And that is also, that's either available on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon Prime, and I will check that out.
Okay.
Okay, Best Animated Feature Film. Incredibles 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm not a big fan of it. I got to be honest.
I honestly can't remember.
I loved the first movie. I had high hopes for the second one. Really disappointed.
Yeah. What else you got for anime?
Isle of Dogs.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I love Wes Anderson. Yep. Big fan. I love Fantastic Mr. Fox. This one was a rare Wes Anderson miss for me.
Okay.
Didn't like the tone.
Okay, but nominated nonetheless. All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, good animation,
yeah,
right?
But, yeah.
Mirai.
Didn't see it.
I don't know anything about it. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I saw it.
I did not.
Yeah. I'll say this about it. Just, I felt the same way about Ralph Breaks the Internet that you did about Incredibles 2.
Got it. I liked the first movie. I had no desire to see the second.
Yeah. I was charmed by the first movie, and the second one lacks charm.
All right. And we have one more nomination.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I really liked that movie.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yep.
And I was going to say predictions to the end, but my prediction is that is going to win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature Film.
I think it should for a number of reasons, but one is that the animation is really great. Incredibles 2 looks like every other Pixar movie.
Yeah, Pixar, you know, they used to be a step above, but their storytelling is really what's been holding them back lately.
And Wreck-It Ralph looks like every other 3D CGI movie.
Did you see Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse, in 3D or regular?
In regular, yeah.
Got it. Well, I heard it was a movie where the 3D might have been cool.
I think the 3D would be really cool in it, actually. Yeah.
Best visual effects, next category.
Okay.
Avengers, Infinity War.
Okay, whatever.
Yep. Christopher Robin.
Didn't see it, but okay, cool. It kind of makes me want to check it out.
I didn't see it either. I did want to see, you know, it was one of those things where, this is kind of sad, where I have two boys, one's 7 and one is 10. And while my wife and I, like, that's the kind of movie that kind of appealed to us and we would have dragged the kids to when they were a little bit younger.
Right.
Now they have a say and they were saying no. Oh, very sad. First Man, best visual effects. I saw First Man and the special effects were amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, I guess that had good effects, sure.
It did. I mean, you know, it was a lot of CGI world, but effective. And then I think they did a couple of other unusual things that were good. But again, I'm always going to go for something that's a little unique, and that's why I think First Man would be my vote.
Yeah.
And then Solo, a Star Wars story.
Interesting. Okay.
I know. Oh, well. Well, I think this is another category where people in the industry vote.
Yeah.
Not
and,
anybody else.
Yeah. I'm surprised no Mary Poppins in there, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they got that. They waited too long to get that video out of Mary Poppins sliding into the tub and down a chute. okay. So, yeah, she didn't make the cut. But best sound mixing.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
I know. This is another one where they have best sound mixing, and then they also have best sound editing. And, you know, the industry knows the difference. I don't think you and I know the difference.
No.
And it's almost always the same films get nominated for both, so it does seem a little bizarre.
And the same people always win the award.
Well, there's only probably like what 20 sound people in the Academy, so they're working on all these movies, so you know. Okay, so best sound mixing, you've got your Black Panther, okay, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, Roma, and A Star Is Born.
Great choices. Okay, next category.
All right. I can smell the sarcasm through the microphone. Best sound editing, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody. No, I'm not reading from the other category. I'm reading the other one. See, I told you. First Man, Roma, right? So there's, and then here's the difference. They mix it up. For some reason, the sound mixing in Star Is Born is better than the editing because Quiet Place gets best sound editing, which is ironic for a movie where no one's able to talk or else the monsters get them. But no, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, no, I get that, but okay. Let's keep moving.
Yeah, Silence is golden in the editing for that.
Yes.
Okay. And now, best film editing. Now we're getting into some categories.
Okay, now,
where,
okay,
you know,
now
I like.
Yes, okay. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, and you know, and if you're a Oscar handicapper and you just go strictly on trying to make your picks based on history,
right?
The best film editing is an important category because not all the time, but most of the time, your best picture winner is a film that gets nominated for best film editing.
That would make sense.
And if it doesn't get nominated for Best Film Editing, it doesn't mean game over. It just means you're going to have a harder chance of winning.
Okay. So what do we got here?
Okay. Well, we're going to go in alphabetical order. We got the Black Klansman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. A little love there for the Black Klansman.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the editing comes in. You started watching it.
I haven't finished
the whole thing.
I haven't finished it yet. But
I won't talk because the ending of the film is, to me, it is the best ending of any film I saw this year.
Okay.
And it's powerful, and maybe it's the editing of the ending of the film that gets it there. But so Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody for best editing.
Okay, keep going.
All right, The Favorite.
Okay.
Green Book.
Really?
And Vice.
Very interesting.
Yes. Now, look,
I'm gonna
pick on one film that you're going to hear me pick on later, maybe, if it gets nominated, is the Bohemian Rhapsody. All right?
You hated this movie.
Well, I, you know what? It's like one of those things where I want to like it, and I can't say that I didn't have a good time in parts when it was just recreating, you know, Queen rock moments, which is always fun, but I don't know if that's anything I couldn't see on VH1. But editing, the thing is, this movie is overlong. It sags in the middle. And then, of course, my biggest issues go with the fact that it takes a lot of license with historical chronology of the film. So I don't know. To me, that's a miss on the editing. It seems to me, I would have substituted Bohemian Rhapsody with A Star Is Born.
And I haven't seen the film, but I'm surprised by Vice.
You know what? If you remember and recall Big Short.
Yeah, similar sort of editing style. Then.
Which did win that year for best editing.
Right, yeah, okay.
It does have a similar thing. You know, last week, for those, you know, who don't know the secrets behind the show, I did talk about Vice for a few minutes, but I had some audio troubles, so we just cut that out.
We'll talk about Vice later after
we will,
it.
But I did see Vice, and I can understand why it got nominated if I understand the way the Academy works. I don't know if I would necessarily have given it a go in this particular year. So anyways, best original song. I know we're all excited about this one. All right, this one's kind of laughable.
Yeah,
I don't even know the songs, but come on. All right, you're going to get ready because you're going to start laughing, and we're all, as a group, when we hear this, we're all going to start laughing. Are you ready, kids?
Yes.
All the Stars. Do you know that song?
No.
It's from Black Panther.
Okay, keep going.
I'll Fight. It's from the documentary RBG. I don't know. The Place Where Lost Things Go, Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
I don't know the song. I didn't see the movie, so. My wife would tell me how great it is, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Shallow, A Star Is Born.
Okay.
When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
I know. So, okay, you know what? I said I'd do predictions at the end, but if there's no way. I mean, if you want to put money down, guaranteed, if a Shallow does not win for Best Song from A Star Is Born, I don't know the Oscars, and I never knew the Oscars, okay? That is the clear winner, and yeah. That one, you know, Lady Gaga's going to get an Oscar on Oscar night.
She should.
It's a great
song.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully she'll perform it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Her and I think Bradley will jump in.
Okay, good.
Okay, so best original score.
Yeah.
This one I actually think is laughable, too. Not that I thought there was a lot of great scores.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I love it. A prediction. Go ahead.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, you're joking. You're joking. But you know what, though? That might have been better than some of the choices. There is one major snub in this. It was one that people just thought was actually even going to be the winner, and it was not nominated. So I'll tell about Ooh. That in a second. Okay, best original score, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Of course. Yeah.
Are we serious here?
Yeah.
Black Klansman.
Okay.
If Beale Street Could Talk.
Okay. Yeah. Heard good things
Isle of Dogs.
Okay.
And Mary Poppins Returns.
What's the big snub?
The big short, the big snug. No, the big snub is First Man.
Oh, okay.
Justin Hurwitz was expected to get nominated for his score. It's a beautiful score. I'm not a composer. I don't know. I think maybe there's just not a love from the Academy for this film. But I think that if there had any issues, I will tell you that I heard some strands of music that sounded an awful lot like the La La Land score that he won an Oscar for.
Okay.
So, of course, that hasn't stopped them from nominating John Williams every time.
Well, that was my joke. Together. Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I don't have any stake in the game in this original score one. And I haven't seen if Beale Street Could Talk, so I don't know how good the music is.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here's one of our favorite categories, best makeup and hairstyling.
Oh, my God. Okay, which, just you know, run through it.
To be great. I thought it was.
I know, it used to be great.
As a kid, I was so excited when they started to, like, recognize my favorite monster guys, their makeup.
Yes.
It was, you know, the Rick Baker years. And now, you know, it's.
Now that's all CGI. So, yeah.
Yeah, so now it's makeup and hairstyling.
Right.
Border. Do we know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
I really don't know. Mary, Queen of Scots.
Okay.
And Vice.
Okay.
You're going to have to give the award right to Vice because, yeah, I mean, the makeup was pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know about the hairstyling, but the makeup was great.
Well, there's not a lot of hair to style.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The early years of Dick Cheney, there was hair.
That's true.
Yeah, and they do cover the early years.
Okay.
Best costume design. I don't have the names of the designers, but I'm sure Sandy Powell's there somewhere.
Okay.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, okay. Popping up again. Yep.
Black Panther. Love those CGI costumes. Yeah. Well, you know, the Black Panther costume, I guess, is cool, right?
Yeah.
The Favorite.
Okay. Yep.
Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
And Mary, Queen of Scots.
Those all seem like fairly obvious choices.
Yeah, except for maybe Black Panther.
Except for Black Panther, yeah. Which just seems to be getting thrown into every category it can fit.
Yeah, do we sense something coming? I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
all right, best production.
But Venom didn't get nominated?
Thankfully, no.
Okay, let's keep going.
Best production design.
Oh,
Black Panther. No. Best CGI. You know what? They maybe should come up with best CGI. I know it's like visual, but maybe
they should actually best CGI because so many sets now are CGI that it's not even considered a visual effect.
Yeah. So, Black Panther is your first nominee. The Favorite.
Okay.
First Man.
No.
Mary Poppins Returns. And Roma.
Interesting.
I have seen all of those films except for Mary Poppins, so I cannot can't give you a definitive, you right. know, I like to be fair, but Roma, they did recreate, like, down to, like, the nails, several city blocks of Mexico circa 1970, and it is pretty amazing. So.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Okay, best cinematography, which is one of my favorite categories.
Me too.
Cold War.
Who's the DP?
It's the same DP of Ida, which okay. also got nominated for Best yeah. Cinematography. Black and white,
yep.
1:3:3 aspect ratio. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that other cinematographers get excited about, too.
Yes. And the only people that nominate in the cinematography category are the cinematographer.
Exactly.
Branch.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing. Is if you wonder, everybody in the Academy gets to vote for Best Picture
yeah.
nominations, but then you can only nominate your particular branch that you're part of.
Right.
Different when it comes down to the Academy award ballot, you can vote for any category except for those special ones.
Right.
And that's why you tend to see one film win a whole bunch, because usually people are like, well, I like this movie, so I'm
right.
just going to
put it
check
in for that category. Exactly.
I think that that's a mistake, because I don't know if, you know, everybody knows what makes good cinematography.
Right.
Clearly, Roger Deakins would have won a lot sooner.
Okay, so what do we got here? I'm excited
right, Cold
to hear
War.
This. Yeah, Cold
War, which is great. The Favorite.
Okay. Yep.
I'm a big fan.
You've been talking up The Favorite.
Yeah. And yep. I think that that's well deserved, because you have not only interesting use of camera movement, but you are shooting on film and natural light. So,
yeah.
And also, mind you, natural light in interiors where it would have been easier to shoot with lights.
Right.
But it would not have been authentic. It would have looked like one of those PBS shows.
Right.
Okay, now, okay. This is the key. Never look away.
Interesting.
This is what got me. I said, what the hell is this movie? And that's what sent me on a journey this morning into finding out. And found out this German film, and I saw the trailer. It looks amazing. The visuals. So guess who the cinematographer is?
I have no idea.
Caleb Dachanel.
No.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, interesting.
So now I've got to see it, because, yeah. you know, we're talking Mr. Natural. We're talking
yeah.
The Right Stuff. We're talking Black Stallion.
Yeah.
We're talking I'll Fly Away from Home.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so,
great,
I mean, this
great,
is.
Yeah.
Between the director who did The Secret Lives of, the Private, I don't know, I remember what that movie
yeah.
was named, but that was a fantastic film. So I've got to see it now. It's
okay.
like high on my list.
Okay, me too.
Okay, cinematography continued. Roma, Alfonso Cuarón. Do you know how rare this nomination is?
Very, extremely rare. Huh?
And this is the thing, is I've been reading a little post-analysis, and I don't think a single person has picked up on this. This may be the first time in Academy Award history that a non-cinematographer has won.
Or been nominated.
Is nominated for cinematography. The cinematography branch hates it when a director
yeah.
shoots the film themselves. And that just shows you the respect they have, because it is really, again, I haven't seen Cold War, and I haven't seen
right.
Never Look Away. But, I mean, the cinematography in Roma is really the star of the show. And it just shows you how much Alfonso Cuarón learned over the years from working with Emmanuel Lubezki.
Exactly.
And it's funny is that – so Emmanuel wanted him to shoot the film.
Oh, really?
But Emmanuel was busy.
So he just said, I'll do it myself.
Well, he did, because he didn't trust anybody else. He didn't – if it
oh,
wasn't
right.
going to be Emmanuel shooting this movie, who knew what Mexico City was like back
right.
in 1970 as well, he didn't trust a single person. So he got a lot of, you know, sort of consultation from him ahead of time, and
okay.
he shot it. And it's just when you see it and you understand this guy, he just knows movies. So,
yeah.
So that is an exciting nomination.
Okay, that's great.
And it's well-deserved.
Got the another one? Yeah.
Yep. One last one is it's funny, we've talked about this on the program, and I agree, A Star Is Born.
Yeah, great cinematography.
Matthew Lebetique. It's really good. I know that people might think, well, geez, you know, that's kind of a conventional movie or something. But what he does...
He does some pretty amazing stuff. Yeah.
And he's also, he's aiding a first-time director.
Right, right.
And he's probably helping it be responsible for it being as good as it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all those nominations are great, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have no complaints in the cinematography department. I think that if one person got cut off was, again, cinematographer First Man.
Okay. Which is just not picking up steam this year.
It isn't. Well, we haven't finished yet, but I got to tell you, I'm going to, you know, spoiler alert, I don't think we're going to see it too much in the last few categories. All right. Best Adapted Screenplay.
Oh, good.
All right. The Coen Brothers, Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
All right. Black Klansman. Several writers there, including Spike Lee.
Okay.
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right. If Beale Street Could Talk, Barry Jenkins.
Okay.
Haven't seen it. Can't comment.
Yep.
And then, this is kind of funny only because it's been adapted so many times, but A Star Is Born. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's, it's a good script. Fine. Okay. Yeah.
Honestly, I have seen the other adaptations, and it is really one of the better adaptations of the
right.
So, all right. But let's go to the original screenplay.
Yes.
The people that came up with the ideas on their own. And we have The Favorite.
Okay.
I don't know the writers. It's not the director.
It's not the director. Okay.
No. And I'll be honest, this might be why I think The Favorite was his best film. I think maybe he's a better director than he is a writer. Because the dialogue in that movie is so great. So I'm very happy with that nomination.
Okay, great.
Here's another hand clapper.
Uh-huh.
First Reformed.
Oh, Paul great. Schrader. Okay, yeah, you really like it, Paul Schrader.
Yeah, and you know what? It's probably the screenplay is one of the best things about it, next to the phenomenal performance by Ethan Hawke. But
okay.
I highly recommend, for those who love movies, check out First Reformed.
High on my list.
Green Book. Yep.
Okay.
Funny. It's an original screenplay, but it's based on the life of somebody that was real.
Well, you can.
It's an original story.
It's an original story. Yeah.
Roma, Alfonso Cuarón. Okay. And Vice, which is also based on a real person.
Yeah.
Believe me, that person was real. Unfortunately,
I'm surprised that Vice wasn't based on a book or something. Huh?
No, it's based on Adam McKay's manifesto of how evil Dick Cheney is. That's yes, very original take on a very unlikable guy. Okay, now best director.
Okay.
And here's I always love the best director category because especially when there used to be just five nominees for best picture, the director and best picture wouldn't always line up.
Right.
And I think that's because the director's branch, you know, looked at different things.
But now that of course they line up.
Well, you know what? Well, let's just table that for 1 second. Because I'm a student. The history of the
Academy
Awards.
It's just mathematically, there's a higher chance of them lining up now.
Okay. Since the awards have changed to many possible nominees for Best Picture.
Yeah.
At first, it started out for a couple years with 10, and then people complained in the Academy that, I don't know how to pick 10, so couldn't we just do, like, a favorite ballot or something? I mean, is it that hard? No. why don't you give me the ballot? Because I like movies, okay? I could pick out 10. It's not that hard. But then they went to this, like, 8 and or 9. It depends. It could be 10.
Right.
But since they changed it to, like, a preferential ballot, we haven't had 10 nominees.
Right.
And I think that misses the point of why they did that and why we were they were flirting with this whole popular film Oscar.
Right.
Was that 10 was supposed to allow some interesting, maybe popular films.
It was supposed to allow that so they could increase their viewership of the Oscar telecast. Yes.
So they botched it. They didn't talk to me. But I feel like the director's always been a little bit of a better bellwether. And one time only. Since they have made this switch, has there been a film nominated for Best Director that wasn't also nominated for Best Picture?
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
That was the Foxfire or Firefox.
Oh, with that Steve Carell movie?
Yeah.
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher. Sorry. The director got nominated, but the movie did not get nominated for Best Picture.
Okay.
But other than that,
it's lined up. Okay.
You're guaranteed that the five. So we'll see what happens this year. But here's the best directors. Spike Lee, Black Klansman.
Okay.
And again, you haven't seen it, yep. And so it would be unfair.
I'm not commenting on it.
But I would say that I like and respect Black Klansman more than I think it was one of the best films of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I am happy, you know, for Spike Lee because for years he just, you know, got the shaft. They wouldn't give him nominations for movies like Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X. Now, you know, in true Academy Award fashion, you have to get to a point where they just want to honor you.
Exactly.
Maybe, like, nominate you for not your best work.
The Paul Newman Award.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, it is the best film that Spike Lee's made in quite some time.
Okay.
Right? I mean, yeah. If you've seen some of those movies. Okay. So he got nominated.
Yeah.
Now, Powell Polakowski for Cold War.
Okay.
That was a surprise.
That is a surprise, yeah.
It was one of those that a few people said, you know, the director's branch might do that, and they did. So,
impressive.
Cinematography, foreign film, and now best director.
Wow, okay.
And here he is, my man, Yorgos Lanthimos, favorite.
Yeah, of
now,
course.
You know what? Recently, it looked like he was going to get shut out and that there were other films that were going to get nominated. So I am very happy because now I've seen four of his films. I just saw Alps over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
I am just, I love this guy. I think he's getting better. And I do feel that The Favorite is his most accomplished film to date. So I'm very thrilled that he got nominated.
Great.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Okay.
Roma.
Not unexpected.
Not unexpected, and I would say deserved.
Yeah, from what I hear, yeah.
And then Adam McKay for Vice.
Okay, it's amazing. I did not expect Vice to be coming up this much.
I just don't think it was as good as The Big Short, but apparently the people liked it enough that they've been nominating it in a bunch of categories.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the snub. Not the snug, but the snub. Is Bradley Cooper did not get nominated for Best Director for A Star Is Born.
That does not surprise me, actually.
Well, it surprises you from a standpoint that everybody thought it was a lock.
Interesting. Okay.
I know you don't read the thing, but believe me, it's a shock.
Okay. Not a shock to me.
Less of a shock, but still a little bit of a shock. People thought that with the love that the Academy was seeming to have for The Green Book that Peter Farrelly did not break into the director's category.
Yeah, they're holding a few movies against him.
They are, but there's also, and again, I know you don't follow it, there was a recent thing that happened. And again, this is where it gets, you know, these studios, it gets a little brutal.
Right.
Different studios try to sabotage another film, or there's been a lot of people that don't, I have not seen this movie. Unfortunately, I have a theater that's local, and I'm going to name them
out. I'm in the same boat.
The Flagship Cinemas, they're called, and if it's a horror movie or an action movie, they're going to play it.
Yes.
Or if it's like a big, you know, super A-list film. But otherwise, you know, something like this Green Book, I thought that would be a slam dunk. I live in a community where there's an older generation, and they're just beat up films.
Yeah, it just didn't get a very wide release, did it?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I'm hoping now that it's got some nominees under its belt, it will, I can see it.
Get a little more marketing push, yeah.
It just really, it pisses me off that I can't see films that I want to see because my theater, which has 8 screens, son of a bitch.
They could use one of those screens.
Well, they did show Vice for 2 weeks, and I was able to get there to see that. They showed Can You Ever Forgive Me, and I caught it on its, like, 1 week run the last day.
Okay.
But, you know, so Green Book, I don't know, I can't quote it, but essentially in the dirty pool, somebody dug up and found out that, like, when Peter Farrelly was directing Something About Mary,
uh-huh.
that he may have flashed his goodies to several of the cast members as a joke, but that's not very funny in 2019. But literally, this came out a couple weeks ago. It was enough to potentially derail his nomination.
Okay. I did not hear this. Yeah. Okay.
No. We're moving on. Best actor in a supporting role.
Okay.
We're getting up there. Mahershala, I probably just totally botched that name, Ali for Green Book.
Okay.
He's getting great reviews, he's also in the new season of True Detective, which I am watching,
okay.
And he's fantastic in that.
Okay.
Adam Driver, your favorite actor in Black Klansman.
Okay.
Which, you know, you've only seen the first half.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's
pretty
prominent Yeah, he's pretty prominent in the second half of the film. And, you know, it's a good performance. I'm a little surprised he got nominated, but he's there.
Okay.
Sam Elliott, A Star is Born.
Yeah, that's who I'm rooting for.
I am rooting for him because I love him, but, I haven't seen all the nominees.
Yeah.
Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive
Me? Ooh, okay.
Of the ones I've seen, he's my choice.
Okay.
Sam Rockwell, Vice.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It is interesting. You know what happens? This is another Academy Award thing, is if you are on their radar screen after being ignored for years.
Right.
Like he was, though he never really had a performance that probably should have been nominated. But then last year, he won for his first nomination for Three Billboards.
Right.
And what happens then is now you have a cachet.
Mm-hmm.
And they just remember you and go, oh, I love that Sam Rockwell.
They pay attention now. Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with his performance in Vice, but it is the classic 1970s like cameo.
Okay.
It's really not like what they do now where literally you're a best actor or actress and they put you in the supporting category so you can win. He's in it for like maybe 10 minutes.
So it really is just a show up. It's like Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a performance. If you talk about, I wish they almost had like a guest performance, because if you think about it, he wasn't nominated for that, but that is one of the single greatest guest performances in a movie.
Yes, absolutely it is. Okay, what else we got in this category?
Best actor.
Oh.
Are you ready for this, kids?
I'm ready.
Okay. Christian Bale.
Okay.
Vice.
Unsurprising at this point.
Not nominated for director, but for actor, Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born.
Okay.
Here's the surprise nominee, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate.
What?
Playing Vincent Van Gogh.
Oh, that movie.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize that we needed this many Van Gogh movies.
Well, apparently we do.
Okay.
Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, not totally surprised, but...
Not surprised based on what I've been hearing, but, you know... I've seen the movie,
and
I am not holding back.
I am I'm not rushing out to see this movie.
All right. Well, I will get back to Remy in 1 second. Viggo Mortensen for Green Book.
Okay, unsurprising.
And I didn't see it, but I heard he's good. Now, let's go back to Rami Malek for a second. He is legitimately the best thing in Bohemian Rhapsody. He is.
Right.
He gives it all. He gives a lot of energy. And so, you know, I guess from an acting standpoint, you know, I could see where the actors would vote for, you know, nominating him.
Right.
Okay. But here's what the strikes against. First of all, he's like, you know, he's wearing these fake teeth throughout the film.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah, because in real life, what's his face?
Freddie Mercury.
Thank you. Freddie Mercury had really bad teeth. And they were just very noticeable. They were part of his character.
Right.
You can't just, you know, nobody had teeth quite like Freddie Mercury, and you couldn't just find an actor. So he's wearing these, like, ridiculous choppers, and he just physically doesn't really look like Freddie Mercury.
Oh, interesting.
He more resembles him. And so even though he has lots of energy, he does a great lip-syncing job because he's not singing
right.
in the movie. There's a difference between his performance as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody and Christian Bale playing Dick Cheney as Vice. When you're watching Christian Bale, You're never thinking that Dick Cheney's up there on screen,
right?
But you have a hard time remembering that that's Christian Bale. Like, he's just suddenly becoming this
right.
character.
He's fully inside the performance, and you buy him as that character completely.
And it's hard as he's playing, and maybe this is why like people aren't really gravitating to this film, and then maybe why I didn't is, you know, you're playing Dick Cheney. He's not playing this over the top guy. The guy's whole MO was being understated,
right.
Sitting back, listening, and then conniving.
Yeah.
And so that's what he does. Like, he's playing him as a total mystery.
Right, right, right. It's not a showy performance.
No, even though it's showy in the fact that, like, that's Christian Bale.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, because he gained so much weight to play Dick Cheney, it's when he's playing him younger, they have to sort of hide the fact that he's not as heavy in the early scenes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The makeup is really making him not look. But, and like, it's just when you look at it, you're just scratching your head going, that's Christian Bale?
Wow,
no way.
Okay.
Yeah. So other than the fact that he sounds a little bit like his gruff Batman voice.
Right.
It's a pretty amazing performance. And again, I'm happy for Rami Malek, but my concern is that he could end up getting the Oscar for that movie, which I have a lot of problems with.
Okay. Is that the last of the, no, we got more in this category?
No. Oh, I know. Yeah. See, I thought it was going to be a quick show, but it's not. All right. Well, maybe I'll do some editing. All right. Best actress in a supporting role. Amy Adams, Vice.
Okay.
Marina de Tavira for Roma.
Okay.
That's a surprise. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yep.
Emma Stone, The Favorite. And yep. Rachel Weisz.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep. Best actress. Yalitza Aparicio for Roma.
Okay.
A little known, I don't even know if she was really an actress.
Interesting.
So it's pretty amazing that in a foreign film, these are amazing feats. Glenn Close, The Wife. I don't know. I've heard about it.
Yeah, I know nothing about that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I just know that, you know, it's Glenn Close, and they're going to, you know, if they voted, they nominated her for Albert Nobbs, they're going to vote. And that's what makes me suspicious of this film, is that movie should not have been nominated for things that it was nominated for. Olivia Colman, The Favorite.
Okay, wow.
Lady Gaga, she did what Madonna couldn't. She's nominated for A Star Is Born.
Unsurprising to me.
It's unsurprising, but yet that's one of those that in other years, it's that shock where she gets snubbed because they have an issue with the fact that she's Lady Gaga. And she
exactly.
used the Lady Gaga name.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, good for her. I think she had a great performance. So.
Yeah, it was a great performance. Yeah.
I did not see The Wife, so I can't.
Yeah.
I can't close down the category and pick a winner for me personally. But excluding that, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? To me, is the best performance by a female this year.
Okay, great.
Great. All right.
Now we're down to it, huh?
This is it. The big eight. Eight films were nominated for Best Picture.
Okay.
And we'll go. Do you want me to go and like sort of jump around, or do you want to go in alphabetical order?
It's up to you. Just right. Throw them at me.
I think it'll be more fun if we go a little bit out of order. I'm going to go backwards.
Okay.
Vice.
Okay, Vice. Yes.
And that, you know, it got nominated for director. It's not unexpected.
It picked up a bunch of nominations. So
eight nominations.
Yeah.
Star Is Born.
Okay. Also,
eight
unsurprising. Yep.
Right, but it did not get a director, and
right.
It did not get an editor. It's basically out of the running.
Yeah, it's basically out of the running. But
and Vice is also out of the running.
Yes.
Roma.
Because nobody saw it. Oh, Roma, of course.
Roma, 10 nominations.
Okay.
Totally, you know, it would be a shock for a foreign film to win Best Picture. But, you know,
but it's
anything
possible.
This year, it could be possible. Based on the lineup we have here, I have a feeling... also, with a lot of changes to the Academy's body, a lot of people could be picking their favorite film, and this could be literally a year where you don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Green Book.
Okay.
5 nominations, but no nomination for Best Director.
Right. Out of the running.
Maybe. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
The Favorite.
Okay, great.
Tied for the most nominations with Roma with 10.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody. Bo-fucking-hemian fucking Rhapsody. Sorry for the swearing, but I did change the settings to explicit just so that I could say Bo-fucking-hemian Rhapsody. No, 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 no. This, no, no, no. They did this to me once with the Ray Charles movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where that got a bunch of nominations. That movie is like a masterpiece compared to this film. This film throws out every freaking rock movie cliche, biopic, and then it figures out a few new ones to throw in. But here are the sins, all right?
Okay.
Here's the sins. I mean, again, I know a lot of people loved it. They just had a great time. I mean, I recognize it. There's a flow of people out there that would be like, oh, I love that movie.
Well, but that enjoying the movie because of the music and the fun and getting caught up in it is one thing. But Best Picture?
Yeah. I have a hard time because, again, and I think I said this on the show, but I'm going to repeat it. Two things to me are unforgivable sins. Well, no, three. The first is the film's director was fired from the film.
Yes.
For lots of, let's call it, personal issues. And the movie and its studios had to basically hide the fact that Bryan Singer was involved in this movie. And it was ghost directed by somebody else for whom we don't even know how much.
Right.
And it really feels like a film that has no director. It has no vision.
It has no
style.
Right.
It's a bunch of scenes put together, and it really does feel like something that, VH1 films would have made. So that's my first problem.
Okay, so what you're saying, let me see if I got this straight. I should put everything aside until I get a chance to see this.
You got to see it now, right? So that's
I have to. I mean, I can't. At this point, I have to see it.
Hey, if you disagree, by the way, out there, listeners, with any of our choices or discussion, please send us a rant at feedback@jimandteal.com or hit us up on our Instagram page, Jim and Teal. I want to hear that because I want to debate you. And you can come on this program and tell me why you think it's good, because I guarantee you by the end of it, you will have shrunk 7 or 8 inches and you will never be able to argue a movie point again. So now number two with Bohemian Rhapsody. Number two is the fact, and this is to me is unforgivable, so that they could have more narrative tension. Because here's the reality for you little youngsters out there who don't know, all right? Despite what this movie will have you believe, after like this album in 82,
yeah,
they were over. They were over for all intents and purposes. Nobody thought about Queen much about, unless maybe in England they did.
Right.
But they did not in the States. It was over. And I don't want to say they were a joke, but I mean, they did the soundtrack for
Flash Gordon.
And, you know, we all love that. But it's just that they were not taken seriously anymore. And then the Radio Goo Goo song here in America, it was like they were a joke. They were over. And so instead, what they do to try to create more tension in the band, they kind of show them in almost like breakup phase in 1980.
Right.
And they make a big point. And this is, again, why I have problems with the editors. They make this big point of putting up there on the screen a particular date and time in 1980. And they're all sort of rehearsing. And then they come up with this great anthem, We Will Rock You.
Right.
And it's a whole scene in the movie. And so they've literally, now they have created a lie that anybody who knows anything about Queen can say, but that makes no sense because that album came out in 1978.
It's totally going to win Best Picture.
No.
I'm rooting for it for Best Picture now, just based on your review.
No. But that's so that, and I can understand people say, well, you know, you needed to be able to move. No. That's annoying. But here is the worst and most unforgivable sin of all. They start the film off, they show him getting ready for this big Live Aid festival moment, and then they flash back.
Oh, right, and so it's bookended by,
So it's the framing device is for this big comeback on the Live Aid. That's great.
Right.
I didn't really, as a kid, their moment, I didn't know it was so big. I don't even know if I watched parts of Live Aid, but I don't really recall it. But okay, so they're using that as a big moment, and that's how they're going to build the drama. However, what they do is he's broken up from the band, and now he is he's suffering from AIDS.
Right.
And he has to pull it together and find the strength and tell his band and all of that. And then he still has that triumphant performance and everybody feels elated. And that's great. Okay. But here's the problem. He wasn't
none of it's
diagnosed
true.
With HIV until 1987, which was after Live Aid.
Right.
So that's a whole lie that they created.
Right. So
in
it's
order
just a
drama.
Bunch. It's just a bunch of right. So they just took it and they turned it into something that's an attempt at dramatizing something. And yeah, so it's based on the idea of the band Queen.
Yes. Yes, right. And so, you know, I know that there's a lot of movies that, you know, when it gets into historical stuff, they make up stuff. I mean, The Favorite, right? That's very, very loosely based on real people, but it's just a complete fake story.
Right,
and they don't care that it's fake.
Exactly.
And they get away with it because it's a couple hundred years ago.
Right.
But when it's just, you know, in the recent history, and they're rewriting history.
Okay. Is there more in this category?
Yeah, so there's two more movies.
Oh, there's two more.
I know,
okay.
But I told you, like I was.
I just want to watch the movie now.
All right, Black Klansman.
Okay.
You saw that? I mean, you know, Spike
Lee.
Yep,
saw that coming.
So basically, you know, I mean, there was a passionate. I mean, I went and saw this in the theater because I'd heard such great things about it, and I did like the movie, and I liked it a lot, and I may end up liking it a lot more than you did. We could talk about that.
Well, no, Okay, I have one.
No, you haven't seen the whole thing.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I only have one minor gripe with it, and otherwise I'm really enjoying it.
Okay, what's the gripe?
That at the beginning, the character isn't really set up very well, the main character. I don't have a sense of who he is, really, before he, like, it just opens with him looking at a sign that says, join the police, and then he does. but I don't know anything about who he is before that.
Yeah.
It's a minor gripe, but it just made it a little bit difficult for me to get into the character right at the beginning. And I should
go see the whole thing and then let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the last film on the list, or would have been the first film that was mentioned due to alphabetical order, is Black Panther.
Yeah.
Not the Black Panthers.
No.
A political group from the late 60s. We're talking Marvel Entertainment.
Yep.
And, of course, a big feather in their cap, their first superhero movie ever to be nominated for Best Picture.
It's just a travesty.
Here's
the thing.
You tell me.
I liked this movie when I saw it. I went and saw it with my daughter. She is into some superhero movies. It was... as far as I'm concerned, and by liked, I mean it's a Marvel movie. And so when I say I like a Marvel movie, it means that I was not in physical pain while watching it. Right? But basically, they're exactly what they are. They're just Marvel movies. They're all basically the same. They're all telling essentially the same story with a little bit of a twist on it here and there, but that's just some flavoring. And so I recently watched Venom.
I will not see.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Venom. It's basically the same movie as Black Panther, which is basically the same movie as Spider-Man, which is basically the same movie as Iron Man. Venom is just the bad version of these movies, and Black Panther is the good version, but they're the same movie. Same story, same CGI, same, you know, yes, Venom is sloppy, it's short, it's awkward. I will say Tom Hardy's performance is some kind of weird miracle in the middle of it, but it made me really look at Black Panther and say, you know, this is kind of a hollow movie because it is just another comic book movie. And yes, it has a social conscience and it has political and social ideas in it. But to me, they feel like they're not the soul of the movie. They're the seasoning for the movie. And the soul of the movie is the same as the soul of Venom, which is that it's a superhero origin story. So that's my rant.
I feel like I've used up all my super rant powers for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Which, between those two films, neither one should be anywhere near a Best Picture.
No, and I could go on and on about Black Panther, but I kind of feel like it's not worth it because it's just, you know, it's why I generally don't like to talk about Marvel movies on the show because they're just not worth it. They just are exactly what they're an entertainment product.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
If there is somebody out there that really feels that we've got it wrong and that Black Panther is a great film and that they want to discuss it with us, you get in touch with us. I just already gave you the information.
Yeah.
Please, we'll have you on this program. We'll find a time that works well for you. And you can tell us why you think. Because, see, here's my – this is my honest belief. I don't think that person exists. I think this is a movie that was caught in a cultural moment.
Yes.
Everybody went and saw it, but I think that it's one of those things where if you tried to pin somebody down as to why they really thought it was a great movie, they'd come up empty.
Well, because there really isn't anything.
It is not a great movie, and I just don't want to – you know what? Here's the thing. Okay. I do get and respect the fact that for years Hollywood has ignored African-American characters – and their stories. And when you have a genre like superheroes, which make billions of cash, that why is it that they can't make a black superhero movie?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Getting this off the ground, I guarantee you the big wigs there in Marvel were probably very nervous and didn't want to spend any money on this. And were like, no one's going to see this film. They released it in March. Okay.
Right.
They were not thinking this was going to be a major hit. They thought, well, geez, we have to do that. That's what I think. I think that Marvel felt they had to do a black superhero movie, which is why it was so great that it became a smash success in spite of them.
It's actually kind of similar to Wonder Woman. There was a lot of fear about a female lead superhero.
Which, you know what, is so ridiculous because it tells me that the people who actually make superhero films don't understand why they're popular.
Right.
That people just like freaking the thing. Venom looked like a big bag of CGI shit, and people went and saw it in droves.
What is this guy's name? Kevin Feige?
Yeah, or Feige or whatever Feige, they said.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Here's my point, though, is that these Marvel movies are produced. They're not directed. They're not written. They're not the product of an individual vision. It's just about a big show. And these are Kevin Feige or Feige or whatever his name is. They're his movies, and they're not individual works. They're all kind of they're just like episodes of a TV show. So go see Venom. Go see Venom.
I'm not going to see that.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to anybody who likes Black Panther.
Oh, go see that and see it. You then tell me what's the big difference.
Exactly.
You know, my issues were very much what you said. It's I went and saw it. My kids, one kid thought it was kind of boring, like me. I mean, this is the big bad secret that people don't want to talk about. Parts of that movie are just dull.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we talk about, there's a lot of discussion these days about casting in movies, woke casting, where, Hollywood can no longer, you know, if you're going to have a movie about a transgender person, that person better be transgender as the actor.
Right.
Well, I'm going to talk about some casting that we've got to take seriously, folks. Okay? There are a lot of American actors out there who want to be playing in these movies as Americans. Martin Freeman and your Britishness can go home, sir. You're in Black Panther playing an American CIA agent, and I think that is wrong. Okay? You're telling me? I mean, I know that Chris Pine is locked up in the DC universe, and maybe you can't get him, but you're saying that there are no American actors that could have played that role.
Yeah, no,
okay, Marvel. Controversy is upon us.
I think you're right, and I think somebody needs to launch a social media campaign about this. that Brits do simply do not have the authority to play Americans.
Right. And you know what? And Martin Freeman's accent in that is a little bit ridiculous. He's not the best at it.
No, he's not the best at it.
And that's just one of my problems. You know, and, but I will take a step back. Okay, I recognize it. I get it, right? You've got 8 slots, potentially 10.
Oh, I think it's fine. You know, whatever. Give it a slot.
I mean, and the fact is true is that to some audiences, it was an important film, a landmark movie. And I can only imagine if I was a young kid who was African-American, and I never get to see a movie where I can recognize that superhero as me. And now there's a film with a whole world that's devoted to African-American actors getting to do all the things that for years we saw, the white actors. And I actually thought about the sister who is basically kind of like the James Bond Q.
Right, right, right.
She's inventing and doing all these cool things. And I think that that is important. So I do recognize the importance of Black Panther.
Oh, I think it's an important movie. I think you're absolutely right. It's a cultural moment. And that doesn't belittle the movie in any way. I think it is important. I think a lot of people connected with it in a really important way. I think it gave voice to a lot of people. And it's not, you know, again, to me, it's not a terrible movie. It's just not a Best Picture kind of movie.
And I wouldn't say it's terrible, but A, I don't think it's a very good movie. I think it's about a middle-of-the-pack Marvel film. I tried to watch it a second time on Netflix, and that's when I really thought, man, this movie is terrible.
Okay, well, if somebody wants to come on the show and talk about this, I'll watch it again.
Yeah, the only time we will ever probably mention this Black Panther movie again is if A, someone comes on and wants to debate us, or B, maybe at Oscar time. So, you know, this is it. We're getting it all out now. But I will take Panthers over Bohemian Rhapsody.
What?
I will take 10 Black Panther movies over Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
That to me is a stain. But you know what? I'm okay because there are years when there was only 5 slots and the Academy put movies like Dr. Doolittle or a movie I thought was one of the worst bags of crap, The Prince of Tides. Towering Inferno.
For you are the snubs?
Well, I mean, you know, I can tell you in Best Picture, considering there's 2 slots, right, that could have been there.
Well, not just Best Picture, but overall, like.
We're going to go through because I'm going to talk about which movies. I mean, we're running really late on time here, but
how long
it's
is this?
Been so far.
Have we been doing this for 3 hours now? This show.
We've
already?
Been doing it for 3 hours. I'll cut it down to 1 hour and 11 minutes. It's just been on there. I really would have loved to have seen. Can You Ever Forgive Me being in the Best Picture? I thought that was great. And, of course, you know, I think we're going to talk about this in a future episode. But, you know, personally, I thought one of the best films of the year is this little film called The Rider.
Yes.
And I knew it wasn't going to get nominated, but I'm just, you know, it just.
But it was on a lot of critics' lists, and I didn't expect it, but
I'll take the stuff we've seen challenge you anybody out there. You watch The Rider and you watch Bohemian Rhapsody and you tell me which movie deserved to be on the best film list.
Exactly. So
okay. All right. Well, we're running low now. We're gonna cut to the chase. I'm gonna go through some of the major categories and I am gonna ask you for your prediction.
Okay.
Okay. Best Picture. Predict.
The Favorite.
That's not gonna win.
Roma.
That might win.
What do you think's going to win?
I think Green Book's going to win.
Interesting. It is. It's definitely an Academy kind of movie based on what I know.
So here's the thing is, you've got this wide field, okay? You've got Black Panther, which I think will get some votes.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You as scary as it is, you're going to have a lot of people who will vote for Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's just disappointing. Yep.
I think there will be some people that will vote for Star is Born. And then I think there's going to be a lot of people who will vote for Roma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the crowd pleaser, the one that everyone can say, well, you know, if I saw a movie that I wanted to cheer at the end, it was Green Book. That's what I've been hearing. And it won the Producers Guild of America Award.
Oh, that's a good sign. Okay, so I need to see this movie.
I would love to see it if they frickin' would show it, and I'm hoping they will, but it's really pissing me off because it's the only film on the list of best pictures that I haven't seen. And it's only because my theater won't book it.
Right.
Book the Green Book. Okay, so I think Green Book, you think Roma might. I think that I would love it as a surprise to Roma. I think my favorite of the films I've seen is probably the favorite. All right, best actress, best actress. You gotta pick?
No.
Okay, for a while, Olivia Colman for The Favorite was taking it. Her role is about the same amount of screen time as Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz. So I think she is fading. It seems like Glenn Close is the sentimental favorite.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to win. I can't say, oh, wow, that's not good, because maybe it's a great movie. Supporting actress.
No clue.
Okay. A lot of people think that they're going to give it to Amy Adams for Vice. That is not a good it's not that it's not a good performance. It's just not an Academy Award winning performance in my book. I think that Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk is going to win it. And I will tell you that the Marina Tavira in Roma is great. Yeah. And Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are great in The Favorite. But it's like, how do you pick one over the other?
Right,
They're both great. I actually thought Emma Stone had the juicier role.
Okay.
Best actor.
I can't even remember the nominees.
Well, I think that it's really a two-way race, I think, between Christian Bale and Rami Malek, with a potential outsider on Viggo Mortensen.
I think if people see Vice, that's the thing. Are people actually going to see Vice?
I think the Academy will, and it is a pretty I think this one is going to be the one where you can make a pick and that pick will probably come true, but it really is down to Christian Bale and Rami Malek. And here's the thing. Rami Malek's kind of got that, oh, everybody likes this guy vibe right now.
Right.
And Christian Bale's kind of more of a standoffish, like, oh, I'm interested in the method. So I think Remy could pull it away.
Could pull it away. Okay. What else you got?
Supporting actor. I think Mahershala Ali for Green Book is going to win.
Okay. Good call, I think.
I think you like Sam Elliott. I just don't see any.
I just like Sam Elliott. That's all it is. I don't see him. And I love that one shot in A Star Is Born when he's tearing up and looking over his shoulder as he backs up the car.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a great little acting moment. Anyway.
And I think what's going to happen is, in about 6 months, everybody on cable is going to watch Can You Ever Forgive Me? And it'll be like, I can't believe Richard Grant didn't win.
Right.
Best director.
Oh.
I think it's Roma all the way.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's my bet.
That's why I think that it's not going to win Best Picture, because I think people respect Roma more than they can really say I loved Roma.
Yeah.
And so you can't deny, though, that it's a technical masterpiece.
Right. And it's a directing tour de force.
Yeah. This is like with you, man. You could see this movie at any time. It's on Netflix, but you have not seen it yet.
Yes. And you know why?
No.
I'm just waiting to watch it with my wife.
All right. Well, you got to get on the stick, pal, because it's worth seeing twice. So maybe you see it the first time.
Okay, that's a good idea. I was planning on watching Bohemian Rhapsody every day for the next 3 days, but maybe I can squeeze in Roma.
Yeah, because I know you're going to want to put Bohemian Rhapsody on replay.
Yes,
for sure.
I'll just have
What I do when I get that Bohemian Rhapsody feel, I just put on Queen's Greatest Hits, which I have on vinyl, and I just listen to that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, that's one way to do it, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know what? Guess what? You get the same feel because it's the same songs and music because he just lip syncs. It's not like he's singing.
So it's really just an air guitar movie.
It is an air guitar movie with, again, you feel like Rami Malek's going, mother effer, I got no director here, there's no vision, but I am going to give it everything I got. And maybe because of that, you give the guy a break and say that that's a performance. When you have your director hightailing it out there, and half the time he wasn't showing up, and that's why he got fired. So the guy, Rami Malek had to go to the producers and said, what the fuck? I'm trying my hardest, but there's no director. He helped get the guy fired because the guy wasn't there. So, you know what? Good on Rami Malek, I think Bryan Singer should have been fired.
He basically took over the movie.
He did. So thank you, Remy, for making it a box office success. All right. We should be wrapping up. But
let's wrap up.
Screenplay, I think Roma's going to win. And I also think Roma's going to win for Best Cinematography.
Okay.
And then Best Adapted Screenplay. I think this is where the Academy is going to give Spike Lee an award because he's one of the writers.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter whether it's the Best Adapted Screenplay or not. Right. That's going to be the Black Klansman Award.
Okay. Yep, I'll buy that. Yep.
And then, you know, Best Documentary Feature, RGB. Or not RGB. That's like, that's a color theory.
RBG.
RBG. Instead, that's a Supreme Court justice that we hope survives the next 2 years.
Oh, okay. Man. Okay, so when's this Oscar telecast happening anyway?
You know, I guess if I did my homework, I would know. It happens next month, end of February.
Okay.
So, which, by the way, for it used to be that in mid-February is when the nominations came out, and then March was. But now they've moved it up.
They've moved it up to heighten the intensity of their marketing push.
Yeah, so we can start planning our post-Oscar
Oh, wait, you thought I was going to watch the Oscars?
Well, you know, you're going to do what you're gonna, I will watch it, and then I will tell you about it.
Now that we've done this show, I'll watch the Oscars.
You got a good month. If there was something you wanted to catch, like Bohemian Rhapsody, you could catch it.
Oh, I have a bunch of these on this list that I'm going to catch.
I really, though, want to see that German film. I don't know how I'm going to get to see that. But
what's
that
it called
I'd love
again?
To see. It's Never Look Away.
Never Look Away. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess look for it.
Look for Never Look Away.
At your local art theater.
Okay. Great. Well, there's the nominations then. Exciting.
I hope that Green Book comes out in my theater in the next few weeks.
Yeah. I want to see Green Book and several other of these. Roma is now at the top of my list.
As well, it should be. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually, you know what? I saw that when it first came on Netflix, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about it because you haven't there. And so I'm kind of curious as to
reaction. We'll talk about it on the next show.
All right. Well, hey, kids, get your ballots in. And again, you have a problem with me and my Bohemian Rhapsody rant, or you have a problem with us and our not love of Black Panther, then you come and you talk it over.
Yes. Come on the show.
All right. Bye, kids.
Bye.